Yo.
That was fucking atrocious.
What's up, Huda Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I might be a 5 or a 4. I had a 2 Bloody Marys, double shots, and switched over to beer for the game. Thought it was going to be a celebratory game. Thought it was going to be a blowout. I thought it was going to be awesome. Apparently not. This is the instant reaction, 2-point conversion. Jason and Wes and Gunn will be joining us from New Orleans. They were actually at the game. We have James and Ben from the UK. They were not at the game.
Lucky.
Neither was I. So let's get into the... I'm not going to do the whole... Well, you know, let's get numbers real quick. Jason, what's your number?
I'm actually a 0. I got a cocktail when I got into the stadium, and that was it. I didn't drink anymore.
Sweet sauce.
I'm a good 0.
All right, Wes, what about you? You in an Uber?
I would say I'm somewhere in the 6.5 range. We started this. We landed at the airport at 9 this morning and met up with Jason pretty quickly and been going ever since then. Excellent. I'm an angry 9 or angry 6.5.
Angry 6.
He's an angry elf.
He's an angry breeze. All right, Gunn, what's your number?
About a 0.380.
Ooh, it's gone down since the game started.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, they'll do that.
All right, James, what's your number?
0.
There you go. And then Ben, best for last, right? What's your number?
Considering I'm working, 3.
No,
I'm
73.
All right. Well, I'm glad we're laughing because this is probably the last time we're going to laugh on this instant reaction show. The Saints just lost to the Giants in overtime. Lost to the winless Giants in overtime.
Not anymore.
Not anymore is right. Looks like I'll get us started, I guess, with what went wrong.
Everything, but if I had to choose.
No pass rush.
Outcoached. Outplayed.
Defensive line. Yeah.
No pass rush.
Poor play calling after we took the 21-10 lead. That didn't help either.
That.
Our much vaunted defense gave up 428 yards to the Giants offense today.
Daniel Jones, all pro.
Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator. Giants
so we've
offense.
Made Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones look good in our 2 defeats this year.
Not great, Bob.
How much of is the Saints like underestimating their opponent? You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine that would be a true statement, though. Like, that how in the NFL you should never take an opponent for granted, but it just feels like the Saints have a problem playing down to their opponent's perceived skill set. And that just doesn't sound like it would be something Sean. But I was listening to some pregame interview with Sean Payton. And like Mike Haas was talking to him about the game, and he was saying like, well, and I'm going to paraphrase, but essentially I got the impression like we're not worried about what the Giants are going to do. This is one of those games where we're just going to focus on what we're going to do. Kind of like one of those games, like maybe the game plan was we're going to impose our will against them rather than play them strategically against their strengths or weaknesses. It was more like we're going to do what we're going to do, and they're going to have to deal with it. And how'd that work out for you?
Shit.
The Giants, I don't count their one turnover, you know, before the Hail Mary at halftime that we intercepted. Right. You take that away, which is not really a turnover. I mean,
right.
They had no turnovers.
The Hail Mary.
They basically played a perfect game. And then we played this. I mean, our team was moving the ball, rhythms were happening, you know. And then just to the decision to throw it deep. You know, Jameis has completed deep touchdown pass. One gets called back for a holding. He's hitting guys in stride. Beautiful deep passes. Let's take him out and let's insert Taysom Hill, who sucks at that, to do that.
Right.
And just throw up a jump ball. Just go play three flies in at their 10-yard line. Let's punt it on second down.
Right. A six foot
guy who's like 5'6".
Right. Yeah, and the corner was like 6'2".
If you watch,
it was running clear.
Yeah, if you watch the play developing, the pass was at least a second and a half late. If he'd have thrown it earlier, Deontay Harris was open and was going into space. And he threw it behind, and he ended up throwing it behind him, and it turned into a jump ball, which he's never going to win.
I am so shocked. It's not like we've seen that from all training camp for Taysom Hill. I'm so shocked.
I hope Taysom Hill signs with another team next year as a free agent and makes a lot of money and goes on and has a great career. But you know what? I don't like him being on our team because it tempts Sean Payton to try and get too cute.
It's true.
And Sean Payton's so guilty of trying to get too cute. He's too vain.
Well, what's fucked up about it is I don't mind getting cute, like you said, Gunn, last week, inside the 6-yard line. That's, yeah, you're right. No, that's
about standing inside the 10-yard line.
But
inside,
like, you're 10, literally, yeah, you're, yeah, your offense is in a rhythm. You're rolling, man. You are doing everything right. And then you just interrupt the whole fucking thing because you got to give Taysom Hill a fucking snap.
And let me say this. From the 600 level, you know, it's almost like watching the All-22. And I enjoyed that. And Jameis looked a little bit apprehensive in the first quarter. But outside of that, you really could not have asked for much more out of Jameis Winston.
Oh, really? Okay.
He played well.
Yeah, the pass to Callaway was really nice. The long shot to Callaway just after halftime. Yeah, that was a nice pass. But, yeah. You know, I mean, Winston looked okay today, you know, and it looked
as he looked great. He looked great outside of that kind of little bit. Peyton was first quarter
taking the handbrake off after halftime. It looked like he was relaxing it a little bit and letting it. Trusting him, because in the first half, it didn't look like he trusted him still. But then they'd obviously decided at halftime, right? Okay, well let's have a go and see what you can do. And he uncorked that great pass to Callaway. And you could see the confidence building from Jameis. His passes were crisp. They were on target. I mean, I think he finished, 17 of 22 for 220 yards today, I think it was. Something like that.
17 for 23, 226. One touchdown.
That's it, yeah.
No interceptions. Taysom Hill, does Taysom Hill now have more interceptions on the season than Jameis Winston?
Winston's got two, I think. And
Hill's only got one.
I thought one of Winston's got called back.
Hill's only got one.
Either way, I am confident by the end of the season, Taysom Hill will have more interceptions than Jameis Winston.
Well, I hope not, because that means he's going to be throwing the ball more.
Well, that's inevitable. He's like Thanos. So, but honestly, we're sitting here bitching about that. At the end of the day, I don't think that the offense is really why we lost this game. I actually think we lost this game because of the defense. Or
100%. Lack of pressure. Zero pressure. Daniel Jones had all day to just sit back there and throw, and that's what happened.
It started well. The first quarter, I was like, this is our defense. Just, yeah, we're set in. And then it just, I don't know. It's just, it suddenly went to shit. Like,
well, it's either the defense lost it or the Giants won the game. I mean, again, this is the two teams played on the field today. Giants showed up. The Giants showed up. All of a sudden, their offense, like, fucking Daniel Jones looked like a fucking all-pro.
But hey, this is the 2021
402
Titans.
Yards. Saquon Barkley. That what was it? How deep that pass to Saquon for the touchdown? I feel maybe, you know, and I get it, like certain angles, the camera, you think you see something that, and the players see something different, but I kind of felt like they could have tackled Saquon about, you know, 18 times between the 20-yard line and the goal line. You know, like, it's just like they ran with him, and you see that more often than not in today's NFL, or at least I see it in Saints games. I feel like our, we always try to take the angle, but we're giving them 20 yards when we're doing it, rather than just go get the guy.
This really fell on Peyton as well. That decision not to kick the field goal comes back now. And look at it. What was it? What did you say?
As long as Rosas is on our team, I will never be upset about going for it versus taking a field goal. Rosas would have never made that kick.
Why did you go for a 58-yarder then?
We shouldn't have. We should have gone for it.
Well, we turned down a 44-yarder in the first quarter.
Yeah, we went for it early in the game.
Yeah, we went for it early,
and then we kicked when we shouldn't have kicked. We should have.
If it's 4th and 20 from the 30-yard line,
definitely go for it the next time.
If it's 4th and 20 from the 30-yard line, and Rosas is your kicker, you go for it.
You really don't like it, do you?
No, I don't understand how the man has a job.
Because we'll let his hair. That's why.
No, there's a guy in this. Out of all the people that were in the stadium, somebody could have kicked better than him.
Gun?
It probably couldn't have done
Kill
worse.
Gun.
Couldn't have done worse.
I was like preoccupied with Rosas during pregame. We got into the dome 55 minutes before kickoff. And I just stared at him most of the time. Dude, his body language. Nobody on the team talks to him. He was the last guy in. Giants kicker was like out doing his thing just before the end dome pregame starts, like getting his kicks in. And Rosas was late out there. Didn't even get all his practice kicks in. I mean, like his body. And I think I messaged you guys that like. His body language in the pregame was terrifying as a Saints fan.
Because he knows this is his last game.
Oh, he's got, and it's almost like when we could have kicked a 58, 57-yarder, you know, and then he tried a 57-yarder, but he had a chance in the first quarter for like a 57, 58-yarder. Peyton should have just walked over and went, dude, you go make this kick, somebody's going to sign you when we cut you. Say that before he goes and misses the one that they let him try. You make this kick, and somebody's going to sign you. And he didn't fucking care. He don't want to be in the league.
Nope.
No, the frustrating thing is, though, is it had plenty of distance on it, but just one fucking straight.
Like, for me, watching on the TV, it seemed like the dome atmosphere was a bit flat today. I don't know if the guys in there, if they agree, or it just came across a bit. I thought it'd be pumped from minute one, but it just seemed a bit flat or a bit strange.
Well, first question is, was it packed? Was it sold out? I mean, was it, were there empty seats or no?
It was technically a sellout.
But in reality, were there?
Yeah, right. There were a lot of empty seats. Now, some of them did fill in as the game went on, but there were a lot more empty seats than there should have been.
Kind of looked like the LSU game in the fourth quarter last night.
Not that bad.
Yeah, not that bad.
It wasn't terrible, but there was a disappointing atmosphere in the dome for sure. Just kind of,
I'm surprised.
Echoing the things that y'all said. I mean, Rosas does not belong in the NFL. I'm not sure what we can do as far as, we cannot get a pass rush unless we're blitzing. And that's a really bad problem against just the average quarterbacks. You can't get pressure with your front four, which I would think that our front four is supposed to be good enough with Granderson and Jordan and Passignon and Turner, the first round draft pick. They seem to do nothing against Daniel Jones if we weren't blitzing. And then again, this goes back to the classic. Lattimore was clearly not fired up from this game. And y'all tell me if y'all saw something different on TV than what I saw in the dome, but it seemed like most of the good plays where somebody wasn't within a couple yards of the receiver was on Lattimore.
He had one of his I can't be bothered games today.
Yeah, I mean, it really seemed like that.
So you think that, like, did he run slower and play with less focus? And
yeah, if there had been more people in the dome,
maybe he was stoned. Yeah.
Something about it, like, but there's certain motivations were missing that helped him perform better. It's your fault, Wes. You were there. Why didn't you scream louder?
I literally almost have no voice right now. I'm really struggling to talk as it is. So
But all right, so with the less fans than is optimal, I think, like, Ben's right too. Like, on TV, it didn't translate. Like, it was quiet. And hey, granted, Fox, this is one problem I have with Fox broadcasting, period. Like, you watch a game on CBS, you hear the crowd. Fox suppresses the crowd noise, and I hate that about it. But it did feel like at times...
No, I think the fans suppressed the crowd noise, Jeff.
Okay, I was going to say, it did feel like the crowd noise, like, the crowd wasn't in it.
But that's so disappointing.
I forgive them. They didn't. The Saints didn't give them a reason to be loud.
You don't need to have a reason to be loud.
It should
you're back in the dome. You're back in the dome for the first time since the pandemic.
First quarter, you're right. But over the course of the game, by the third quarter, if the Saints are playing the way they played, I can understand why the crowd's just kind of like, eh.
I thought we got louder.
Well, there were only three incidents that I remember the dome actually being loud today, and they were all towards the end of the game. I mean, and I'm sure some of the
it
fans
did get louder as the game became more important, like as the score got closer. Yeah.
Some of the fans that were there today just probably went because the tickets got so cheap. I don't know what's going on with that, but I mean, I personally know a few people that claim to be huge Saints fans that denied going to the game today, and they probably could have been there making a lot more noise if they showed up.
Yeah. I think the people at home made no noise, contributed no noise to the dome.
Right.
Yeah, Jeff, where were you? Were you yelling?
Right?
Yeah, me and James got an excuse. There's an international ban on us at the moment, so we can't come.
You guys get a pass. Y'all get a pass. We got people that live in Louisiana.
At least I made it to the instant reaction show. Where's Scott?
Scott's still licking his wounds from last night.
Nah, I mean, look... I don't know. Like, this is such a Jekyll and Hyde season. And it's kind of like we get up for the worthy opponents and we just don't play. And it does feel like this is getting old. It feels like this happens to the Saints year after year after year. We always seem to lose to the teams that are the like walk-on team, like the easy to fucking beat teams.
So tell me if y'all are seeing this different from watching it on TV, but like to me, this felt like the game was 21-10 and it felt like we had the ball and we just scored there. Like the game's completely out of hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're up 28-10 and then it'd be out of hand. And then we start making some weird decisions. And I know y'all mentioned the Taysom Hill stuff. Were we outcoached in this game? And I don't want to say only outcoached because we keep running Taysom Hill packages at stupid times. And I don't even say package. We run a Taysom Hill play. And then the only other Taysom Hill play is apparently a play where he throws an interception. We either run to the right guard or he throws an interception. And it felt like, and I'm just saying this leaving the dome, it felt like we were not prepared for this game. And during the game, we weren't well coached and we made bad calls, whether that's offense and defense.
So in overtime, go ahead, Ben.
Do you know what I'm fully expecting to hear? I'm fully expecting to hear after this game saying, yeah, it's the first week, but we were back at home. The players and coaches had a lot of stuff to sort out at home since they've been on the road for so long. That's bullshit, but I guarantee that's the sort of stuff you're going to hear.
I hope not. But yeah, Wes, I think we did get out coached. And in overtime, whenever there was a specific play that they called out, and even Vilma was saying, you know, Dennis Allen... You know, it was a second and long or third and long situation, and the Saints were going to blitz because, even Vilma was saying, you know, Dennis Allen is known in these types of situations, second and long, he's going to bring in a few extra guys and blitz. And Jason Garrett knew that and played it against them, and they called the exact right. Yeah, it was the right play. And so, I do think that the Saints were outcoached. I think the Saints allowed their tendencies to get the better of them.
Well, if we're talking about offensive coaching, when Jason Garrett beats Sean Payton head-to-head, that's a real big problem. And, I mean, that's not just, like, two good offensive geniuses going after each other. Jason Garrett is a failed offensive coach as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator in this NFL. With multiple teams, multiple quarterbacks, great offensive lines, great receivers. He has failed as an offensive genius in this league. And for him to beat Sean Payton today one-on-one is...
Well, he beat Dennis Allen. I mean, Sean Payton, I don't think Sean Payton has anything to do with...
He beat our shittiest defensive line that couldn't do anything.
His offensive plan beat Sean's offensive plan.
Yeah.
And we really, like, being up 21-10 and had the ball, like, we took our foot off the gas, played fucking prevent offense, and we
It feels brutal. Like the Saints don't really have an offensive plan anymore. It feels like our, like, I don't know. Like, it just feels very, like, our offense, you know, just feels very...
I think the plan is not to turn the ball over. That's the plan.
That's got to be it.
Don't let Taysom Hill throw it then.
Well, Wes started to say, when we were up 21-10, we score one more time, game's over. If we'd have gotten two more first drives downs on that drive, it's over. Yeah. And then when you give them the ball back, don't allow them to have a two-play scoring drive or one-play scoring drive.
Whatever. One play. Yeah, one play.
One play scoring drive.
How much of it is the O-line injuries? I mean, you know, like, there's... I mean,
the O-line was good.
You're limited to the guys that you have to execute as well. I mean,
O-line, we averaged almost 5 yards a carry as a team for the game.
The O-line was good.
O-line wasn't really the issue. The issue was...
Yeah, actually, Kamara had 120 yards rushing today.
Yeah.
We controlled the clock and controlled the game, just not on the scoreboard.
We just get on the passing too. Winston passing today, 9.8 yards average with 119.1 quarterback rating. Taysom Hill, 3 yard average, 30.6 yard pass rating. Taysom Hill doesn't need to throw three passes today.
I get it.
Of them's interception, and yes, he got two touchdowns. I don't think that he got those two touchdowns different than how Kamara did. So I want Kamara to have his 6 runs, and I want Winston to have his 3 passes. I mean, and again, I just think that those 9 plays could make a difference in this game.
Are we going to see more of a Taysom Hill in a running back role now? We don't know what happened to Tony Jones Jr. Because that didn't look good when he got cut off.
Or even as a receiver. He had a couple nice catches today. Like, that's where we need to use him.
Right. Taysom's a great running back for... receiver or
inside the 10 yard weapon, inside the 10 yard line.
He's a terrible quarterback.
He is a red zone animal.
I thought about today. I don't know if I remember him having any drops in the NFL, like balls that hit him in the head. He can be a very serviceable receiver, whether that's out of the backfield or as a tight end or as a
he reminds me, he
can definitely catch the ball.
He reminds me of the 49ers fullback,
Jezeric.
Juszczyk, whatever his name is.
Yeah. He reminds me of him. He can run it well, and he's also a very good receiver.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a quarterback.
No, he's not a quarterback. Have we got a bit of a problem with the Superdome at the moment? When was the last time we won a big game in the Superdome? Usually the Saints were always... You always favour the Saints to win a big game at home. Today was a big game, right? It was. I know it was only the Giants, but it was the first game back in the stadium. We've lost 3 playoff games in a row at home. We lost to the Chiefs last year at home. We've lost today. We lost to the Packers at home. I'm beginning to wonder whether we've got a bit of a playing at the dome problem.
I agree that it feels that way, James, but also before this season, we're the most winning team over the last 3 or 4 years in the NFL. Yeah. I agree with you that it feels that way, but there's just no way that actually works out in the true numbers because we have won so many damn games the last 3 years.
But I mean the big games. The games that count.
It doesn't even matter now, but a point that I was going to make, like, after this game, like, if we won this game, I really watched the coaches a lot on the sidelines for both teams. And when the offense is on the sideline between drives, there are 2 offensive coaches huddled around the starting quarterback. There is 1 with the tight ends, there was 2 with the offensive linemen, and there was 2 with the wide receivers. I really got a better sense today of what it means to go from 12 offensive coaches to 5, and watching how many things the offensive coaches were actually doing between drives. And I thought that was going to be an important point if we won today, and it was going to be a good excuse of why we lost the game to the Panthers. And now it really seems to not really matter.
Well, I will say that with the loss, I do feel like you could see a difference in how we lost this. Like, just, I don't know how you could articulate it, but you could tell there was a difference in this loss versus the Panthers' loss. Panthers' loss, it was just like, we might as well, like, we look like a high school team out there. Today, we fought, we tried. Like, there was a competitive element to the loss. And that's the difference in the, what the coaches provided. But really, today's loss wasn't about coaches' ability to help players perform better on the field so much as it was just bad play calling and just being out-coached in strategy by the other team.
Hey, I'm going to get off here, guys. We'll talk to y'all later and hoot up.
All right.
No worries. See you later.
I do think that's pretty much we've kind of hammered it down at this point. The rest can be covered in the...
You got the headlines, Jeff. Don't ruin my show.
In the big show, which will lead us into headlines. Thanks for being
so good. Yeah, I forgot we had to do this.
Oh, damn. Everybody left. Oh, Jason left, who's our headline winner for the season. So, Gunn, we're counting on you for the best headline.
You know, my headlines are long.
Oh, Jason's back. Good. Yeah. All right. Whew.
Hang on. Is that how long it takes you to get home, Jason?
Yeah, I'm home already.
Oh, I'm in my kitchen right now.
Yeah, right?
This how is are you?
Yeah. I've been home for a minute. I've been home for the last 10 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
What? Do you go over the causeway, Gunn?
Sorry, don't I know this is
how I went over the causeway. I've been doing most of the show in the middle of Lake Pontchartrain.
You must have left early then, huh?
I might have.
There's no way you got home. If you
people right, who leave games early are almost as bad as people who do the wave. That's all I'm going to say.
My God. There's a lot of wave going on.
That's going to be everybody. We're going to talk about James's opinion on the wave on the big show.
They're doing the wave when we were up 21-10. We haven't went over yet.
Yeah, we have actually. There's a whole lot of good new stuff to talk about on the big show that'll come out later in the week, so make sure you listen to that one. This is just the instant recap of the game, or instant reaction to the game. Which, let's wrap this one up with some headlines, as Ben pointed out. So what is the headline for this game? Who's got one?
Only use Taysom Hill inside the 10-yard line, same as last week. We learned. I feel like Coach Payton listened to the instant reaction show last week. That's what I was prepared to talk about. Was Coach Payton obviously listened to me and was only using, you know, Taysom Hill effectively inside the 10-yard line, and then they threw that pass.
I've got my headline, then I've got a shoot. So my headline is Giant Step Back.
Giant Step Back? Oh, good one. All right.
Broadway Bomb.
All right, so Ben's got the better one this week so far.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not gonna have the best one every week.
Yeah. He knows what I'm talking about.
I'm struggling to come up with one, to be honest.
So is Peyton.
Yeah.
I tell you what, mine is going to be out-coached, outmatched, outplayed, or something like
Survivor.
That. Yeah, I'm going with the Survivor theme.
Bye, Ben. I'm trying to fit Rosas into a headline, but I'm really struggling to. I'm really struggling to make it work. But on the Rosas subject, Peyton's post game comment is: at some point, we need to start making field goals. I would imagine that means that we might have a new kicker next week.
Well, because earlier in the week, Peyton said that we're standing by Rosas. We believe in him. Oh, well, we had every chance that we could to replace him, but we believe in him. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck
There's
you
your
for
headline.
Believing in, fuck you for believing in him, and fuck him for making you believe in him.
Fuck him for existing.
Jesus. You're right. Like, you're right. All in all, we say everything else, but at the end of the day, if he makes that one kick that he missed, we're not in overtime.
When saying that, the Giants missed a kick as well, so.
Yeah, we got to get
that's
there.
Fine. But that's fine. But Easy Gano, but that's different. Like, you don't expect Gano to miss.
No.
You expect Rosas to miss. No. You went into this game with the choice to get rid of Rosas and bring in anybody. Sean Kaminsky, for all people. You can bring anybody in. John Price used to kick at St. Charles too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like there's so many people in Louisiana who can kick a football and make it in between the uprights.
I've got my headline. Right. You've seen the film Gladiator, right? Everybody's seen the film Gladiator?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Everybody knows what that means, don't you? So it's thumbs down from Caesar.
Mm. Oh.
Look at that.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There's my headline now.
Thumbs down.
I like it.
All right. That's all the show we have for you. This right now, we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including this, the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCAST, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ Podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prim. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv/Dome Patrol Podcast. I don't know why we promote that. We don't even use it. And also any of the fans who want to participate with us on game day during the game, we do have a Discord channel. Just DM us at Dome Patrol PCAST. Send us a DM that says, I would like an invitation to the Discord channel, and we'll send you an invite. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dad, come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Johnny Cakes, donkeys.
Good night, Oodat Nation.